Welcome to Talks from the Bible. I wish to read a passage of Scripture from you found in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. This is a great invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Certainly, we desire to have rest in this life. There are so many conflicts and so many difficulties. We face so many burdens. We must battle the difficulty of temptation from the devil, and so we need rest. We need the lifting of burdens. We need the comfort of heart. We need the assurance of soul. Jesus offers all of that unto us in this great invitation. Jesus has spoken to the multitude, and he has condemned the sins which they have committed. He discusses with them the impending judgment of God that is going to come upon them because of their transgressions. But even in the midst of the condemnation of their evil and the declaration of their sinfulness and the coming judgment of God because of that sinfulness and wickedness in their lives, he offers this invitation. Jesus is never without mercy. God is never without grace. If we live a life of iniquity and wickedness, there is for us the invitation of Jesus. There is the desire and the will on the part of God for us to come unto him, for us to know him, and for us to love him. Certainly, we must appreciate God enough to listen to the invitation of Jesus. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Jesus was very stern in his teaching. He declared the type of life that was displeasing to God, and he revealed unto those who heard him the type of life, the kind of conduct that would be pleasing unto God. And so he invites us to come unto him. I want to notice this invitation of Jesus with you. Let us consider first the invitation, "Come. Come all ye." I have always been impressed with the truth that Jesus allows all people to come unto him. Our culture is not so acceptive of every individual. There are social organizations that you might be able to join, and then there are those organizations that you would not be able to avoid. Sometimes even in churches, which is sad indeed, some people are accepted and some people are not accepted. But with Jesus Christ, all may come. He says, "Come." The Old Testament prophet Isaiah issued an invitation to the nation of Israel. Israel and Judah were in violation of God's will. They had rebelled against God. They had a heart of stubbornness. And yet Isaiah issued an invitation from God for them to come. He says, "Come now," at chapter 1 and verse 18, "and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Isaiah, in the earlier verses of his prophecy, had referred to these people as evildoers. He had pointed out unto them their wickedness, their sinfulness, their rebellion against God. And then the invitation, "Come, let us reason together." And listen to what he says about their sin and their transgression. Though their sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come to God. God wants sinful man to come unto Him. God wants the rebellious heart to receive Him. God wants the stubborn will to know Him. Will you not come this day? Will you not hear the tender word of Jesus say, come? This individual left heaven and came to earth, lived in the realm of man. Notice their sinfulness, their evil, their wickedness, their corruption of life, and yet performed miracles so that they could be helped and blessed, relieve their ills and their discomforts, and offers them rest in this great invitation, come unto me. At Revelation 22 and verse 17, the scripture concludes, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. We are offered the water of life freely. This invitation is by the grace of God. Jesus says, come, because God is a gracious God, willing to forgive, anxious, in fact, to forgive. The New Testament begins with the invitation of Jesus, come, and the New Testament closes, come. Throughout that wonderful covenant that God has made through Christ with man, there is the invitation to come. The God of heaven wants you to come. The God of heaven wants me to come. The God of creation and the God who controls the universe and who sets the destiny of humanity wants us to come. The invitation of Jesus is come. Surely you will not neglect that invitation. Surely you will consider this tender word of Christ to come. Luke 14, 16, 17, then said he unto him, a man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Everything has been made ready. The feast has been set. The banquet has been announced. Jesus teaches this great lesson to those who were hearing him that day, that the God of heaven had prepared a feast and everything was ready, all was in readiness, and desired them to come. Even today, all things are ready. The grace of God has been extended. The sacrifice of Jesus has been completed. He has been raised from the dead. All that God purposed in the salvation of man revealed in the pages of the Old Testament through Christ have been fulfilled. Every promise that God made concerning human redemption has been fulfilled. And now the invitation is come. The banquet is set. The feast is ready. All things are ready. Will you not come? The servants of God say, come. At this feast, Jesus sent forth the servants, or the man who prepared the feast sent forth his servants and said to those who were bidden, come. All men are bidden. The servants of God, the preachers of gospel truth, are saying today, come. Why do we preach on radio and television, in the newspaper, from pulpits? Why do we constantly invite people to come? Because the servants of God have been sent forth by God Himself and by the Lord Jesus Christ with the invitation to come. Jesus says, come. The invitation, come. Let us notice the person to whom we come. Jesus says, "Come unto me." The one to whom we come, the one to whom we give our allegiance, is Jesus Christ. Jesus says that we are to come unto him. We are to accept him, receive him as Redeemer, as Savior, as friend. He is worthy of offering the invitation, and he is worthy of being received. John 6:35-37, Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." These words of Christ are certainly worthy of serious consideration. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. I am the one who can sustain you. I am the one who can provide for you. I am the one upon whom you can depend and know that you will have substance and nourishment and fulfillment. The one who comes to me will never hunger. All of our needs, spiritual needs, are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Our redemption is secure in Jesus Christ. The peace that he offers unto us and the rest that he gives unto us is secure. We will never have need of anything. Just as David prayed in the Psalms, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," so you and I, in coming unto Jesus, shall never want. Our redemption will be complete. Our reconciliation unto God will be sure. Never hunger, never thirst. But Jesus also pointed out to these individuals that you have seen me and believe not. They had seen what he was capable of doing. They had seen that he was able to perform miracles and declare emphatically and without doubt that he was God in the flesh. They had seen the great multitudes that came unto him to listen to his word, words of truth, words of promise, words of hope, words of comfort, words of assurance. Is this not the reason you listen to the preaching of the gospel? Is this not the reason you open the pages of Scripture and read the wonderful words that are contained therein? Because you understand and realize that the soul needs to be fed. And Jesus provides the bread and the water whereby we will never hunger and never thirst. The words of Jesus Christ are all sufficient for the soul of man. They give to man all that he needs in his relationship with God and in his service to the Lord Jesus Christ. The person to whom we come is Christ. They would not believe on Christ. And yet he says, "All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and I will cast no one out." There is no one that Jesus will not receive. There is no partiality and no prejudice in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. He desires that any and all come to him from every corner of the world, from every land, from every tongue. Come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the meekness and gentleness of God. He is indeed the lily of the valley. He is the rose of Sharon. He is the hope of all mankind. John 7:37, Jesus said, in the last day, that great day of the feast, pardon me, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Does not the world thirst? Is your soul quenched? Are you totally satisfied? We need God. The Old Testament prophet Jeremiah said that we were dependent upon God because the way of man was not in himself that walked to direct his own path. We cannot save ourselves. We are incapable of redeeming ourselves. If we truly desire a relationship with God, we have regret, we feel guilt. Jesus can take all of that away. Jesus, throughout the Scripture, during his life upon the earth, urged all men to follow him, to come unto him and walk with him. At John 14 and verse 6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Our only access to God is Jesus Christ. Because we have become alienated from God through our sin, through our stubbornness, through our rebellion, through our wickedness, we are alienated from God, separated from God. But God has sent Jesus Christ so that we might be reconciled unto him, so that the gulf of separation might be bridged. Jesus said you can call upon God as Father. You can know him as friend. Our soul can be satisfied in Jesus Christ. No man can come unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way to God. Jesus is the way to redemption. Jesus is the way to salvation. Jesus is God's truth. And Jesus is the way to life. Life both now, the abundant life that he offers unto man, John 10, verse 10, and the everlasting life that he promises that we can have in the world to come, John 3, 16, 17. 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Jesus gave himself a ransom for all. He paid the price that I cannot pay, that you cannot pay, that no man can pay. Jesus paid the price that satisfied God in the sinfulness of man. And so he is the mediator between man and God. He is the one through whom we go unto God. Come unto me, Jesus says, because he offers unto me the redemption of my sins, the salvation of my soul, and my relationship that I so desire in this world with God the Father. Come, the invitation unto me, the person, the blessing, rest. There is a blessing provided for us and promised unto us in coming to Christ. His invitation promises a blessing. In this world, we need blessings. We need to be blessed by God. I thank him every day for the wonderful way in which he has blessed my life in all of the years that I have been privileged by him to live upon the earth. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, this Old Testament prophet was speaking to a rebellious people. Isn't it sad how people rebel against God? Isn't it tragic that so many people do not desire to know God and live for God and serve God? Isn't it tragic that so many people violate the laws of humanity and are ugly to people and vicious to people? And we never know what might happen to us because of the anger of another individual or because the stubbornness and wickedness of another person. Jeremiah was speaking to a rebellious nation. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord." The Lord sent Jeremiah to them. The Lord sent prophets to the people of Israel to call them out of their sinfulness to repentance. Even as the Lord has sent preachers of truth today to call people, to invite people out of their sinfulness and wickedness that they might know God. Thus saith the Lord, "Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." What did God promise this people if they would stand in the way, the old path? There's nothing wrong with the old path. The old path does not need anything new today. Many people try to change the path because they say it is old and it cannot meet the needs of our culture. But certainly I disagree with that, because I know, understand, realized in full conviction that God's way is always the best way. We need to read the Bible, study the Bible. We need to stand in the way, ask for the old path. And Jeremiah said, "Ye shall find rest for your souls." God promised them rest. Rest from the weary burden of captivity. Today, there is the blessing of rest promised unto us from the terrible, awful captivity of sin. Sin is a burden that surely we do not need to carry. But they said, "We will not walk therein." Do not many people say that today? Do not multitudes of individuals refuse to stand in the way and ask for the old path and walk therein, where there is the blessing of rest, where there is the promise of comfort, where there is an assurance from God that you and I can live in this world amidst the sin, amidst the terrible negativity that affects our life, and all the ills and afflictions with which we must endure? There is rest. Galatians 5 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul wrote to the churches of Galatians, said, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." The yoke of bondage to which he referred in this passage of Scripture was the Old Testament. He wanted them to be free from that yoke. He wanted them to be set in the liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ promises liberty. He said, John 8:32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And those people said, "Free from what? We're not in captivity," which they were. They were under the Roman boot. Rome lived and dwelled in their land and governed them and controlled them. But Jesus was speaking of sin. Sin becomes a slave master. Sin is a taskmaster. Those who engage in sinful living are dictated by the devil how they will live and what they will do. He controls their body and their mind and their conscience. But with Christ, there is liberty. There is freedom from sin. In our knowledge of the truth and in our reception of the truth, we are made free from sin. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ." God promises peace to a weary, troubled mind, to a disgruntled, discomfort soul. There is a blessing in the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ promises us peaceful living, a calmness of soul, an assurance of spirit in this world. And then finally, in the invitation of Jesus, there is the requirement. There is a yoke. The Christian life, the association with Jesus, the commitment to Christ, the acceptance of God's blessing is not without responsibility. God has a strict requirement for man. God has always expected man to respond in a certain definite way. God has always provided a path upon which humanity must walk, whereby each individual will be conformed to his will and will live according to his standard. There is a requirement. There is a yoke. A yoke controls the actions and the thoughts of the person. The yoke was necessary to keep the ox in the way, doing the work for which the ox was designed and which the owner needed to be accomplished. God places a yoke upon us so that we will walk according to His way and live according to His standard. 1 John 5:3, for the love of God, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. How do we show our love to God? Keep His commandments. Many people apparently want to keep their commandments, but we must keep God's commandments. The New Testament is God's law to man. The Old Testament was God's law to Israel. They suffered captivity and loss and all kinds of burdens because they refused to walk in that law and obey that law. And humanity today will suffer the same consequences if they refuse to walk in the law of God. We cannot love God, we do not love God, unless we keep His commandments. And they are not grievous. They are not a burden. They make life better. They make life more enjoyable. Try living without sin. Try living according to the law of God. Try walking in the way that God has provided. And see what a blessing that brings to your life. John 14:15, Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. He presents to them a conditional love. If you love me, then you will keep my commandments. And the New Testament provides for us the commandments of Jesus Christ. When we keep those commandments, obey those commandments, walk according to those commandments, then we love Christ. John 15:14, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Jesus has commanded us to live according to a standard. There is a definite way of life to which we must conform ourselves if we love Christ. John 21:19-22, follow me, follow Christ, walk in the steps of Christ, imitate the example of Christ, live as Christ lived. This is the yoke. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Here is the great invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you not receive it? Will you not obey it through faith, repentance, confession, and immersion in water? become a disciple of Jesus Christ, and live a blessed life both now and in the world to come. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ.